What's up, Fool Podcast with Felipe Esparza and Rodrigo Torres.
Yeah, man.
What's up, Fool?
Chilling, dog. How you living?
Good, bro. Our sponsor of today's episode is Away, first class luggage at a coach price. They create special objects that are designed to be resilient, resourceful, and essential to the way you travel. Away uses high-quality materials while offering a much lower compared price to other brands by cutting out the middleman and selling directly to you. Bro, these bags, I'll tell you right now, they sent me one, and the bag is made out of plastic, hard plastic. A gorilla could stand on top of it and wouldn't break. I don't know why would he stand on it, but it wouldn't break.
Took it to the zoo.
TSA-approved combination lock. It has a lock. 360-degree spinner wheels. So you can just roll it. You don't have to carry it. It just moves around. You can put your leg on top of it and stretch out. Both sizes of the carry-on are rare, are able to charge all cell phones, tablets, e-readers, and anything else powered by USB cord. So the bag has a charging port for USB, so you could just sit there and charge your phone, or you could charge people to charge their phone.
That's that little one you brought with you?
Yeah. Resilient. And I carried it, I'll carry it with me the whole time.
Tight.
Also, man, all of their suitcases are strong and can impact resistant while also being lightweight. All luggages come with a 100-day trial to live with it or travel with it, etc. It's not for you, return it back. You know, get your full refund. No problem. My personal experience with this bag is I like it, man. It fits perfect. You know, like sometimes you can you check your bag. You're like, hell no, man. This bag fits.
They see if it fits in that little thing. And if it doesn't, they keep it in the boot. You have to check it.
Plus, it also expands. So you can open it more.
Hell yeah. Put more.
Also, this bag, by the way, unless you're traveling to China, you probably won't be able to travel with that charger in the bag, but they come with a little screwdriver that perfectly you could take out the battery and put in your bag and, you know, go on your way.
Don't have to worry about it.
And this week we had the good fortune because remember our flights got canceled in Atlanta. Uh-huh. So we got those tickets that were canceled and we used those tickets from our flight. Our flight got canceled in Atlanta.
Yeah, that one time we flew.
We flew with Mike Epps. So
TC.
We used that money to upgrade. And booyah, first class, baby.
We were rolling like kings, dog.
We were rolling like kings on first class.
I didn't want to go to sleep just to get all the snacks.
I know, man. Every time the lady said, snacks, yes.
A wet towel, huh?
Tight. A wet towel, hell yeah. I didn't even need the wet towel. I just took it.
I got two blankets in my bag.
Yeah, man. I passed out.
I passed out for a little bit.
Free movies.
Oh, hell yeah, dog. Seen that dock that you're on?
I kept looking back, and I felt like saying, can we get a bigger curtain? I can still smell the people in regular coach. Like, we don't always fly first class, but when we do.
We do.
And I had a vegan meal on the way back.
Oh, that's right, huh? What'd you get, the couscous?
It was couscous with a cold slab of teriyaki tofu.
How was it?
It was cold. You know what, man? I don't like raisins on anything, bro, but cookies and raisin bran.
That's it?
Or carrot cake. I don't know. I don't want no fucking raisins in tamales. I don't want no raisin in my burrito. I especially don't want my raisin on Spanish rice unless it's leche.
Arroz con leche?
Arroz con leche. A little raisins in there. I don't mind because I poke them out. You don't like raisins at all, huh?
Nah, but I was like, ugh, arroz con leche. I can't stand that stuff.
Yeah, so as a listener of the What's Up Food podcast, you can get $20 off a suitcase if you go to awaytravel.com and use the code What's Up at the checkout. And that's all one word, What's Up, WHATSUP, awaytravel.com, awaytravel.com and use the code What's Up. So go check out the bags on awaytravel.com and be sure to use the code What's Up and check out and get a $20 off, man.
Hell yeah.
That's $20 off. That's it. And Rodrigo, what's up, man? Thank you very much, bro, for standing in front of the sun and giving us that beautiful eclipse, bro.
You're welcome, dog. You didn't get to see the blackout, though,
right? Put on your glasses, bro. Put on your glasses.
Hang on real quick. There we go.
If you were not wearing these glasses, you're probably going to go blind soon. These were the real deal Holyfield eclipse glasses. Did you get to see it?
Yes, I saw it. It was awesome, dude.
Did you have your glasses?
Oh, yeah. I got it from 7-Eleven.
Hey, man. That would have been the money to make, man. If you would have had fucking eclipse glasses 2 weeks ago before everybody and stashed them, you could have sold them for $5 each.
Probably, dude.
People were looking for them, man.
Shit, that or welding masks.
Oh, my dad was a welder when I was a kid, and I think there was like a solar eclipse back then. I don't know what kind of eclipse, and my dad made us wear his welding helmet.
I've seen it through a welding helmet before. That shit's awesome, dude.
Some people wear their 3D glasses from the movies.
Sitting there looking like Darth Vader.
Yeah, man. So guess what, bro? I'm back to my acting class.
Oh, hell yeah. How's it going?
Yeah, man. I went back to my real acting class. No. They're all real. But this one, I went back to Deb. She was she played a narcoleptic on that movie, the Deuce Bigelow. She played a narcoleptic girl that was on a date with him falling asleep.
Okay.
So I went back to her acting class, bro, and I'm back, bro.
Hell yeah. How you feeling?
I feel good, bro. I feel confident. I feel the next time I might get a call back.
That's what's up, dude. That's awesome.
I feel good, bro. So that's that. Oh, big news,
what up,
man.
What up?
Shout out. I don't know who you are or what you do, but when I find you, I'm going to give you 4 free tickets, VIP, to my comedy show, Anywhere I Go. Free t-shirt, free merch. I'm going to give you stickers. I'm going to give you hugs. I'm going to let you sit on Rodrigo's lap.
This will.
Because you, my friend, put my Netflix video page on your Facebook page, and that shit went viral.
It's at 4.7 now,
it's
right?
It's at 8 million.
Really?
Yeah.
I seen it yesterday, though.
It started off on Friday. She put it up on December of 2016. And then I started getting, like, Lisa started noticing that people were hitting her up by, hey, when are you going to come to San Antonio? When are you going to come to San Antonio? All of a sudden, when are you going to come to Austin? When are you going to come here? I was just there. When are you going to come to Milwaukee? Bro, I'm here tonight.
Okay.
And then, so Friday night, it hit 1 million.
Yeah, well, I was saying on Saturday, it was at 2.7.
Yeah, so Friday night, it hit 1 million. And then I shared it on Adam Murray's page on Monday morning. It was at 4 million. So now that shit at 8 million views, I got a call from Edmonton, Calgary?
Alberta.
To go headline over there.
Hell yeah, dude.
At some comedy club. We'll see what happens. So that's badass. So
that's awesome, dude.
That's been going good, bro. Also, my knee's getting better.
Oh, your knee.
Yeah, I don't know what happened, bro.
What'd you end up doing it to it right now?
I started walking like a guy that's hurt now.
Well, the knee is a vital part of your resilience.
So I've been doing a lot of stretching.
Yeah.
Feeling good. What's up, fool? We just came back from Milwaukee.
Wisconsin.
How was that?
It was awesome, dude. Milwaukee was the shit, dude. Crazy fools in Milwaukee, huh? Dude, people wanted a party in Milwaukee.
Yeah, man. Oh, my God, man. So we were like over there, man, in the front of the casino. And, man, we passed by the Harley Davidson place. We saw Adam Murray. Happy.
Hell yeah.
That guy's always happy, huh?
Born happy. Over there in Potawatomi?
Bad childhood, but just everything's happy now. this guy, if anybody walks up to him and goes, man, you were funny. You read a whole blog about it. You know what, man? Out of nowhere, this cab driver knew who I was. Of course he knew who he was, bro. You order an Uber ride and say Adam Murray.
You toured together.
We toured together. So, man, we did the theater, man, and, man, Milwaukee people love to party.
Hell yeah, dude.
I was handed cocaine.
Welcome
I didn't
back.
Know it was cocaine. The guy, you know, shout out to you, man. Thank you very much. If I would have found you, bro, I would have given it back to you, man. And, hey, I don't party like that. So that fool gave me, like, some good weed. And inside, I thought it was like a bunch of zigzags, but it was like a rock.
Right there, ready. Though.
See, my mouth is getting watery, bro.
This hole.
It was a rock, bro. See, my mouth is getting watery because I'm an addict. It was a rock, and you know me, bro. If somebody gives me a rock, I get like a little girl, bro, again. And I went, I start stuttering, bro, because I wanted to do that motherfucker. I got the devil. People say that I have a devil on one shoulder and I got an angel on the other shoulder. Nah, man, I have no angel, bro. I have an enabler on one side and a devil on the other side.
Hey, Doc.
So, I don't know what to do, man. So I tried to give it to Rodrigo. Bro. He didn't want it.
I would have flushed that shit.
Adam Murray, bro, his dad, he went like,
my stepdad used to do cocaine.
Yeah, man. Don't do that, man. So I flushed it on the toilet, and that was that.
That's it, dude. Bon voyage.
And we got through the first night, man. And, man, we had some sushi.
Hell yeah, dude. The sushi was bomb. But the shows were crazy, too. Right after each other, dude. Boom, boom, dog. In that theater.
Two shows. Yeah. I don't know what kind of crowd it's going to be, man. You know, the Midwest. You know, what to expect.
It was mixed, though, dude. I mean, Latinos represented. There was brothers in the audience, too.
Yeah, man. There were some people there who showed up to my show because they saw me with Mike Epps.
Yeah, those ladies in the front, huh? Yeah, dude. That show was cool.
So that's what's up, man.
Fuck yeah, dude.
You got any shows coming up?
Romano's.
Romano's.
Wednesdays.
Oh, I did a show last night at the Laugh Factory. Dude, Ruby Tuesdays, I've been there in years, bro.
How was it, dog?
It was good, man. It was like, you know, man, when you run into old comics, not old, but, you know, comics you started off with or you haven't seen in a while. It's always like summer camp to me.
Oh, hell yeah.
You know, like, you promise to keep in touch, but you're not going to keep in touch. You know? That's who our guest is today, bro.
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
Old school, bro.
The one and only.
The one and only. And, sorry. Yeah, so, man, yeah. So, you went to comedians today. You haven't seen in a long time, right? You haven't seen in a long time?
Dude, who haven't I seen in a while? Well, Chivo, but I haven't seen it in a
while. Oh, you did Chivo's podcast. Yeah. That's George Perez. We call him Chivo. The GOAT. And it don't stand for the greatest of all time. It just stands for the George of all time.
GP, dog. Yeah, George Perez Stories. I did it on Monday night.
They smoke a lot of pot on that show, huh?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
but
drink.
I started it off, though. I got him a little retarded with the Louis the 13th so, blunt.
Shout out to Louis the 13th. They don't know what's up about Louis, huh?
Nah, it started getting hot in that room, dog. All right, let's take another break. It was cool, though. Him, Sidekick Eddie, and his little engineer that was here that one day, Xavier. It was cool, man.
The podcast out already. Where can they find it?
You can find it on SoundCloud under George Perez Stories. And, yeah, we did it, dude. We started late, though. They showed up at 9:30. Probably didn't start recording until 10:30.
Damn.
Party style. And then these fools wanted to go to the strip club after, dog, get some more stories. I was like, nah, I got to tap out.
Get
dog.
Some more stories.
Well, you know, if you're going to go out there and party some more, shit's going to go down, dog.
Man, stories should happen organically, bro.
Not premeditated?
You just can't make up a story like, hey, bro, let's go over there and see what happens and we'll talk about it later.
Yeah, dude. So that was it, dog.
So I did the Laugh Factory with Tiffany Haddish on the show, Ruben Paul, Guy Tori, oh, Jay shit. Larson, fucking who else? Me? Who else? That's it then. That's it.
Guy Tori.
Fucking Jay Larson, bro. I remember that I did the Montreal Comedy Festival with him. Damn. That fool looking like William Shatner on the TV. Because the TV in the Laugh Factory is all faded. Fool.
Captain Kirk or
the
what?
The Laugh Factory still selling their $10 world famous chips and salsa.
World famous?
Bro, you have those chips and salsa before?
Dude.
And they're Tostitos, bro. They're round and the hot sauce, it's fucking, bro, it's like cheap salsa. I'm not going to put down the Laugh Factory, but I just know that I fucked up those chips before.
Nah, dude, I always try to go for like a little, like the little egg rolls or like a slice of pizza or something.
They don't have none of that. Then after that, bro, Tiffany is a huge star. She showed up. I went up last. Uh-huh. Good times. And then, you know, when I was standing outside waiting for the car, I saw George pass by, bro, in a blue truck.
Oh, really?
He said, "What's up, fool?" Tight, wearing dude. My t-shirt, dog.
Really?
Hell yeah, bro.
That's
so
badass.
He got a guest spot. I got him for, he'll be at the show this Sunday and Thursday. So yesterday, people, the Brea Improv is sold out. I don't know how sold out it is today, but we added two shows. Friday, one show on Saturday, it'll be 11:45 p.m. And a second show added to the Sunday show, that'll start at 9:30.
Okay.
That's
hell
it.
Yeah, dude. Brea's going to be on fire, dog.
Also, Rodrigo, I got you your Christmas present right here early, bro.
Thank
I got you fucking two tickets to the Raiders Charger game in Los Angeles, bro.
Christmas Eve. Un millón de gracias.
Hell, bro. If you take your New Year's Eve. So, bro, if you have plans with your ladies for New Year's Eve, bro, you could either break them or you could not go or you could just scalp these motherfuckers and make money, dog.
Oh, fuck all that, dog. I'm going to go to the game, dog.
All right. Let's do this, right?
Fuck yeah.
We're going to bring up our guest of tonight's podcast. I told you guys I started stand-up comedy when a lot of you guys were kids in high school. Some of you guys were born barely when I started doing stand-up comedy. I've been doing comedy now 20 years. And I've been doing comedy 7 years successfully.
Hell yeah.
As a comedian. Because up until 2010, it was the struggle. And I started doing stand-up comedy because when I came out of rehab, I didn't know what I was going to do with my life. And I talked about this on All Things. This is Not Happening on Comedy Central. This guy came up to me with a list of what should I do with my life. No, what do you want to do? What's your goals? What do you want to be in life? So I wrote down 5 things. One of them was to be a comedian. Number 2 was to go to Italy one day. Yeah. Like Olive Garden. Number 3 was to live sober. To live sober and clean. And number 4 and 5. Ah, I forgot what 5 was for, but 9. No, I couldn't think of anything else. So I wanted to be a comedian. And I started doing stand-up. I didn't know how to become a comedian. How? So, like anybody else, there was no Google. This was 1994. There was no Google. I decided to go to the library. And I told the librarian, I'm looking for books on comedy writing, stand-up comedy, or anything that had to do with stand-up comedy. And back then, bro, there was not that many books. What, I had to 3? Buy it was Gene Perret of writing. Steve Allen jokes and limericks. You know, writing skills. And then I found a book called How to Be Funny, How to Write Funny and Make Funny. It was a yellow book.
That the Judy Brown one?
No, that's the one that Adam Murray bought this weekend.
Oh, okay.
So then I looked up, where am I going to be a comedian? I saw the LA Weekly, and it said open mic. I don't know what that was, you know? So I saw a place that was close to my house, you know, like a place that I didn't have a car. I was out of rehab. I had no money. I was working at UPS as a security guard from 10 o'clock at night to 6 in the morning.
Damn.
So I said, all right, let's just do this. So I went to LA Weekly. I saw Natural Fudge on Merrill's Avenue. Open mic Monday. And then I get there, bro. And it's like a fucking, like a miniature auditorium with classroom seats and church pews too.
Damn.
And dusty ass porno movie theater seats that were all scratched up, bro. Some of them open, some of them didn't. There were like chairs stacked up for, I don't know for what. And I met the Mooney Twins. I saw the Mooney Twins. I thought they were hilarious. And then it was my turn, bro. I don't know what to do. So I went up on stage, bro, and I said these two guys, there was a guy there that did stand-up comedy, but he was dressed like an Amish guy. He goes, wow, we have the first black Amish guy. This guy has no lights. He has no checks. He has no electricity. You know, whatever. So I'm clowning him. Then I clowned another guy. I thought I did good. I don't know what bombing was. Then the owner came up to me, Johnny Roberts. Hey, kid, you were amazing. We're shooting a television show next week. Won't you come on down?
God damn, just like that?
Like that, bro. I thought I made it, dog. I thought he worked for the Tonight Show or something. You know, because he was like the owner. He was wearing a suit. He kept saying, hey, everybody, try the nut burger. Because it was a vegetarian place. Try the nut burger. And then he'll point at his wife, some lady named Brenda, who looked like she fucked everybody from the Allman Brothers, bro. Like, she used to party back in the days, bro. Like, she used to be a groupie she was a groupie for Deep Purple, bro, or something.
Damn.
Hardcore hippie lady wearing sandals, bro. No bra. Tiny little white booty, bro. I'll tell you a funny story about her. I went, because, anyway, so I met I saw Alonzo Bowden there. I don't know his name back then, but I know he was there. Jamie Kennedy, and I think Freddy Soto later on. Ruben Quintana.
Masacho.
And I thought these fools were already famous, bro. Because they were so funny. Because they had jokes. I had no jokes. I thought I had jokes. And then in comes in this big fat fool, bro. I think he's Jewish, you know. And I never met Jewish people before. I thought all the Jewish people were for the one from TV. You know, the one throwing rocks at the Palestinians, you know.
They're in Israel.
Yeah, Israel. So he goes up there, bro. And he does a bit about his neighborhood, bro. Everybody was doing regular jokes. Like, they had jokes. This guy came in actually talking about life. You know? Now it's open to talk about your life. Before, it was like just running jokes. This guy was ahead of his time, bro. For me, he was just talking about what was going on in his neighborhood, right? So this fool said, he goes, I live in a neighborhood where everybody plays the same song every week. The same song every fucking week. Every fucking singing the same song. And this week's song is, I need you. So I thought that was hilarious. And later on, our guest today, man, is the comedian I met that day. His name is Al Berman, ladies and gentlemen. Been to Wild Coyotes.
It's happening, man.
That was a joke you used to do about the baby.
Oh, the baby cry.
Yeah.
I ran that into the ground. But what'd you call me, a Jewish fafo? What is that called?
Yeah, I meant this fat fool, man.
Oh, fat fool. Yeah. Oh.
A Jewish fafo.
I thought it was like a Spanish word of fafo. He's a fat fool, which means fat fool.
Yeah, I meant this fat fool, bro. He went up there, man, and then he didn't give a fuck, man. He was making fun of the owner.
I love comics and going on.
He was making fun of the fucking chick, and I thought, okay, this guy is fucking funny. And then after him was an even crazier Jewish guy. And he started making fun of the owner. Look at your fucking brother, your fucking flat tits.
Oh.
Fuck.
Who's that?
Brian Holtzman.
A Holtzman.
And they would tell him, they would give him the light. Fuck, can I get it off, bitch? Like that, dude. And I'm like, fuck, man.
This was crazy.
He goes, look at Brendan over there trying to get everybody to buy that fucking shitty ass nut burger.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, wow, man. Back then I learned a lot, bro. Just that one night. I saw all these different styles. Then I saw this guy with a fucking real comedy. But, man, Brian was, like, insane, bro. You started with that guy, huh?
Yeah, I started with Brian. We're still good friends.
You guys do a lot of open mics together back then?
Yeah, a lot of open mics. And now he's at the Comedy Store and the Laugh Factory. He's doing great.
So where did you start off at?
I started off at the Natural Fudge. Yeah. That was the place I started off at. And just doing, unlike you, I knew what open mics were. You know, like
that's what I did. That's why I saw open mic, not plural, bro. So I only went there once a week. So when was I lying about Johnny Roberts?
No, not at all. But I knew Brenda better.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she was a trip.
Yeah, I remember when Johnny passed away.
Yeah, he died. Huh?
Yeah, Johnny passed away, and I went to the Comedy Store. Okay.
Oh.
And I'm there all high, and Jamie Kennedy comes up to me. Because Jamie Kennedy started there, too. He was one of the comedians.
You guys all knew each
other.
He was
sleeping in his car, I think. And Jamie Kennedy goes, hey, Felipe, you know, remember Johnny from the Natural Fudge? Yeah, man, he passed away. Oh, that's fucked up. He goes, you should go over there, man. They're all having, like, a little get-together at the Natural Fudge. So I go there, right? I go there, and then, like, I see Brenda, and she gives me a big hug. Oh, Felipe, I always loved you. Because she was the first woman that told me about the Laugh Factory Latino night.
Oh, really?
Because they hit her up, and then she said, Felipe, do you do any Spanish comedy? And he goes, no. Because they're looking for Latinos for the Latino night, the Laugh Factory. Maybe the message wasn't sent right. You know, maybe she thought it was all Spanish, but it was all English at the time. Avoided the Laugh Factory almost 5 years. It took me 5 years to go over there.
You said, like, Johnny hooked you up with that, right?
Yeah, Johnny Sanchez later on told me when I met him at the Waldo's. But I'm getting off track. I'm going back to Brenda. So I'm at the Natural Fudge, Al, and I give Brenda a hug. She is weeping, bro, weeping. Mm. So then I'm and we're all hanging out with the comedians. Then I look over at her, and she's making out with a Mexican cook. Like, making out, bro.
Like a soldier.
Like a soldier, bro. The guy's not even in the ground yet, bro.
They must have had an open relationship.
Yeah, man.
She was doing that all the time.
She was crying, and she was kissing her, bro, like, kissing her tears. And I looked over there, well, I guess she's going to be okay.
She's going to be okay. She reminded me of, like, a Lily Tomlin character.
Yeah.
She kind of looked like a Lily Tomlin character.
So, that the natural fudge worked like this. Band, punk band, and then they'll get off, and the comedian will go up. That was a Monday night that I remember. Okay. So you started off, you were telling us, you're sober, right? You have a podcast?
I have a podcast called Sober Man Podcast. Please,
because you're sober?
I'm sober. It's just
no
me
pot, nothing?
No, no pot. I for the last 2 years, I thought about, listen, I love pot. I still love the smell of it. It's just, but the thing is, for me, I'm such an addict. I'm just afraid that if I did it, that's all I would do.
How long have you been sober?
Woo! 29 years.
You know, Al, when I met you, I was sober. When I met you, I fell off the wagon on my 11th year. But when I met you, I was like going on 4 years sober, and still going to meetings.
So, oh yeah, oh really?
Yeah, I was going to NA.
Oh, okay. So yeah, I started out in CA and then went to
Cocaine
AA.
Anonymous.
Cocaine Anonymous.
So you're a cocaine powder,
cocaine,
crack.
Powder. I got into crack. Crack came into vogue at that time. I only tried it once, and at that point, I didn't need any more monkeys on my back. You know, I was just like, you know, and I got sober, and I've been sober ever since. Although I have dreams where I'm not sober.
Me too.
I still have. I have dreams where I'm like going, oh, I've been bullshitting people all these years. And then it takes me a while. I wake up and go, oh, no, I'm sober.
Is that a normal dream for an addict?
Yeah.
Like, it's like a war story. Like shell-shocked.
Yeah, it's normal.
It's like being shell-shocked from living a bad life.
Yeah.
Because I have dreams sometimes that I do, like, I drink, I start off, I get drunk, but then I'm all cracked out again, you know, doing sober. And then I'm so ashamed in my dream that I decide not to go home at all.
Oh, wow.
That always happens to me. Like, I decide not to go home. Then I realize something in my dream decides that, oh, it's only a dream. Then I wake up. But I get scared.
My dreams are mostly about pot.
Oh, yeah?
A lot of weed. Yeah, a lot of weed. And, you know, these days there's weed stores. They didn't have that back in my day.
Weed's everywhere, though.
It's everywhere. And it's strong.
How did you get into cocaine? You said you were in a pub.
Well, I went to a cocaine open mic. No, just kidding.
Cokie mic.
Cocaine open mic and started snorting for free. No, how did I get into it? There was a there's a pot dealer I was dealing with, and he had some coke.
Here in Hollywood?
Yeah, in Hollywood, yeah.
You're from Hollywood?
No, I'm from Northern New Jersey.
Northern New Jersey?
Patterson, where the Sopranos took place.
Yeah.
You know. So I like to claim Sopranos. So I just was smoking a lot of weed, and this pot dealer I knew had some coke, and I tried it. And I was just like, ooh, it was really good. And I remember thinking, oh, I got to be careful. I was so careful that I went 5 years straight, you know. And I just started hitting him up. And I inherited like $3,000 because my grandmother died.
$3,000?
$3,000. And this is like 85. And so I just blew through all that, you know, with little grams and half grams.
And were you in Jersey doing that or L.A.?
No, L.A. This is L.A.
Were you doing open comedian or?
No, I was playing music in those days. I had a band.
What's the name of the band?
The band was called Imitation Life. And we had a little bit of, we had some success on, we were on a couple record labels. We were like kind of known in Europe and college radio, you know, so we had a couple records out.
You sang?
I was, believe it or not, the lead singer, rhythm guitarist, chief songwriter. And you call him, you know, you said,
chief songwriter.
And he's like, said, oh, that fat fool came in. But I gained so much weight in sobriety because food is the original drug. You know, you get sober and now I'm trying to, I've been on like a 5 weeks of a ketogenic diet. Just trying to like freaking, I'm getting older, man. I don't want to.
How'd you stop? What, I mean, did you go to meetings right away? Did you go to rehab? What was your?
I didn't have money.
Go bad, like. Would you spend a lot of time waking? Did you spend a lot of days awake?
Oh, all night thing.
What? How long? What's the most you stood awake doing that shit?
No more than a day, but I mean, I spent many nights where, like, you know, you're hearing, you're looking out the window,
oh, yeah,
and the birds are chirping, and then somebody throws a newspaper against the building, and you go, "What the hell is that?" You know, it scares the hell. I did. Here's one thing I used to do, because I used to drink beer with my cocaine. So if I ran out of beer, say it's like 4 o'clock in the morning, I'd be waiting until the supermarket would be legal to buy coke. I mean, by beer. So I would go there about 5:30 and pretend to shop, you know, just pretend to shop. And so that 6 o'clock, I could buy a six pack, go home and just pound the beer so I could freaking go to sleep, you know.
Man, I've done that lots of times, man, at Ralph's. And I would get there. And, man, it's kind of like sad how when you don't think about it at the time, but till you sober up the next day that everybody's going around about their lives. And you're there trying to hide the look of disgust on your ass.
Oh, yeah.
It fucking sucks, man, that feeling.
I'm pretending I just got off from work.
Yeah.
You know, I'm pretending, yeah, I just got off work. Yeah, I just, you know, want to go home because I work the night shift, you know.
Meanwhile, eyes are all beamed up.
Oh, yeah.
What do? Yeah, I'm an arc welder.
And also, if I ran out of coke, see, the last 2 years of doing it, I was scoring exclusively off the streets. So,
oh.
Yeah.
So, the streets?
The streets.
On so, Will Cousin Hollywood?
I was all over that area, all that area.
You didn't have a specific dealer or nothing before, or what?
I did. It was that guy who got the pot dealer, but he stood me up one time, and I got pissed off, you know, and I said, the hell with that, I'm going to the streets.
And what's up with the streets? Different people?
Different vibe?
Powder? Yeah, but it was all powder. Yeah.
You get burned a lot?
Would you buy it at Hollywood or just by Valley?
You know, no. In Hollywood, there were different places. I could take you on a tour. I could take you to certain places and go, I used to buy coke there. But there was a park on Vermont by...
MacArthur Park?
Not MacArthur Park. Vermont is a little park. Chateau Park.
Oh, Chateau Park.
Chateau Park.
Chateau Lanes.
Chateau Lanes in back of there.
Chateau is hardcore, bro.
I was going there.
Damn, Chateau, the place you didn't want to go there, bro.
You know what I did one time? I was such an idiot.
Chateau Park.
I didn't have anything. The guy had, I was buying some coke, and the guy didn't have anything to put it in. Like, he just had a baggie. So I was going to put it on a tissue. We went into the men's room. And I was going to put on a tissue, and these guys took care of me. They go, no. Then they found a thing, and the guy took out a big knife and put the coke in. I mean, they could have just freaking gutted me. Yeah, just gutted me. But I'd do anything for my coke.
So Chateau Park, so you met him at Chateau Lanes?
No. I just knew. Somehow, I don't remember how I knew that you could go there.
How did you know, man? Like, it's funny how a drug addict works, bro. Like, a sober in a sound mind. I remember looking for crack over there by MacArthur Park, 18th Street, right there where by the MS-13 gangs hang out at, because I knew where the gang were. And I was just driving my car. I'll pick up a fucking crackhead. Hey, listen, man, you want $20? Yeah. Get in my fucking car and help me find fucking crack right now, and I'll give you the fucking $20. So I have him driving around, and think, well, you know a guy? Well, let's go over here. Well, tell him to come to the car. See, yeah, man, all this... takes a lot of balls, bro. I could never do this shit sober.
No.
And I'm late at night, sober, paranoid, thinking, I can't go out at that at night. I can't go out and do that again. But I fucking still do it again.
I would hear gunshots, and I go, oh, time to go out. You know, I wouldn't even stop me. I gotta go, because I gotta go. You know, I'd be standing in hall, and like I'd go to like these ghetto hallways and be waiting. Somebody would be going knocking on the door of the dealer. I'd be waiting with. I gave him $50. I'm getting chills thinking about it now, man.
So how,
I gotta get me some coke right now.
How did you know to go to Chateau Lanes?
I don't remember. I don't remember that. I don't know. I just lived in that area, and there was like different like places that I would get it from.
You just seen the activity and people slanging and stuff like that, and go up to them, or what?
Well, yeah, the whole park was just people dealing and people scoring. You know, how I never got arrested, or you know, is amazing.
I find that amazing how I never got arrested.
One time I was waiting for a guy. This is on Beverly by Western, the street next to like Oxford or whatever it's called. And I'm in a car. I give the guy money. I'm waiting outside this building. And this car pulls up and flashes its beams, and I just go, all right, I guess I'll just go. And it was a freaking, it was a black and white, man.
A police officer?
It was 5-0, man. I just, and what did I do? I went around the block. I went to the parking lot, shut the lights, waited for the guy, picked him up. Because nothing was going to get in the way. I don't care. And I didn't, you know, it was amazing.
Wow.
You ever get ripped off with fake stuff?
Yeah, a high school kid. I'm so ashamed that it's a high school kid.
Fucking asshole.
High school kid at Chateau Park. I gave him the money, and he got me some. Either didn't give it to me, or he got me something that wasn't coke. And the next time I saw him, I punched him. I'm like, I'm a freaking man at this point. This kid is under 18. I punched him in the chest, and then I go, "What the hell am I doing, man? I mean, you know, he got all defensive, you know." And I had to let it go, of course, you know.
You never got burned full with any weak shit or anything that you noticed it was kind of cut too much?
Oh, yeah. It didn't matter. After a while, you're just snorting like
chalk.
Chalk, man. It was, if it's white and it's powdery, you just don't care. I mean, when I first started, when I got hooked on it, I was just like,
good shit, right?
It was the great shit. This guy was actually smuggled it in from like Colombia or something like that. So I thought that you know, but then as time went on, you're just chasing that forever.
Yeah, because that's how they get you, man. Like every time I've done coke again, that line was the best one. Then after that, I'm like chasing the dragon, bro.
Oh, it's the first line, $1 million, second and a half, and by the end of the night, you're just like you're broke.
And then I remember one time, bro, I was hanging out with some chick, and I kept doing this coke, right? And I remember kept going to the bathroom and fucking had diarrhea, bro.
Well, they cut it with baby laxative?
Over and over, bro. I was tweaking, but I had diarrhea the whole day.
That happened a lot.
That happened to you too?
That Brando. Happened to me because they would cut it with baby laxative. But that reminds me, I had a friend that lived in that neighborhood, these brothers. And you ever had people would have guns? They would get their guns out. We do a couple lines, and then he'd take his gun out and go, "I'm just going to walk around the block. Make sure everything's cool. Like a freaking gun."
Fuck.
God damn, dude.
Yeah.
Hey, do you think part of the addiction, too, is like the high from the mission to go score?
I think that's part of it. Here's what I think. I think addiction is I think it's a predisposition. Like, I think I'm genetically predisposed. And then your upbringing, you know, if you have like kind of like a family, whatever issues.
Was your father an alcoholic or your mom?
No, but they had their issues, you know.
They were mean.
They beat you. No, they didn't beat me. They verbally
abusive.
Verbally abusive, you know, double messages, mixed messages. What? I love me. You hate me. I don't know. What do I do? Give me some drugs, you know.
You started smoking pot young?
Yeah, you know, like teens, yeah.
13?
No, not that young.
You started young?
I've been around it since I was young, but I didn't try it till I was 18.
I went from smoking pot at 19. To going to smoking crack by the time I was 21. That's how long it took.
Wow. See, I only smoked crack once, and that was towards the end of my coke run. And it was around 87, 88. And I just, I thought, you know, I don't need any more problems here. You know?
Did you do did you party with this coke by yourself, or you have friends, or you were at a coke
party?
I had
friends, but I did a lot of it by myself. A lot of it was just to, you know, isolate, get the beer, pull the curtains, and let's go to town, folks. And
what do you think made you not do coke with all these comics? Because there was a lot of comics doing coke. I didn't even know that. I didn't know they were doing it until I started doing it.
I didn't. I guess I didn't come in contact with that too much. Yeah, too much with the comedians. You know.
Yeah, when you're a comedian, man, you pretty much could avoid that stuff if you don't do it. Like, but once you start doing it, you find out who's doing it, then it gets crazy.
People come out of the closet, dude.
Yeah, man.
That's it.
That's the worst. And coke's the worst, man. It's the stupidest drug.
By the time you start doing comedy, you were already done with cocaine and drinking?
I was done with... I was playing music, and then about a year and a half into my sobriety, I started comedy. And I quit. I stopped my band. And, yeah, so been sober ever since. Unless those dreams I have, you know, those slip dreams.
I remember when you used to go to that room in Montebello, Gotham's.
Yeah, Gotham's, right?
Yeah,
right.
It was called Gotham when he was there.
Okay.
And when he was going there, I think it was a different host.
Who it was hosted? A singer, like a little Asian dude.
Yeah.
So he was the original?
Yeah, see, he's old school right here, bro.
Damn, yeah, it was that dude.
It was Ron Williams.
Oh, was it? Oh, Ron Williams.
Yeah, he called himself Ron Williams, but he's Filipino, bro. That was his stage name. He used to have contacts on, pretty boy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How did you know? How did this guy start comedy there? Because, you know, we ran that fool out. No. Jeff Garcia.
He got it after him?
Jeff Garcia somehow muscled his way in there and took the room from him.
Oh.
You know, I don't know if he muscled his way. I wasn't even going to say that, but Jeff had the room after Ron Williams lost it somehow, right? And then Jeff Garcia got into a big fight. It's funny. When Jeff Garcia lost the room, he lost it because he got into a fight or something happened. I won't say fight. I don't know what happened, but something happened on Sunday. It was gay night. Mm-hmm. So he lost. He got the room from a gay guy and then lost it at a gay night. So then he gave the room to Willie Barcena.
Oh, Willie had it.
Willie had it. And then after I booked that room for 10 years after that.
I wish I would have known. Jeez, I didn't know it. I didn't know that.
And can I remember you had a joke that killed me when you were there. Because, you know, there's a sports bar, and they were watching a Dodger stadium. They were watching a Dodger game. And then you said, wow, nobody paid attention to me. Everybody watching a Dodger game. It's okay. Right now at Dodger Stadium, they're watching me on Diamond Vision.
Sounds like something I did.
Have a good memory, huh?
This guy, you got a great memory.
What was you being like as a comedian? One of the places you said, man, it's your worst bomb if you ever had a bomb.
Oh, we all have had bombs. My worst bomb was when I first started. Did you know a comedian named Peter Petofsky? This is before you.
Peter Petofsky.
He was he wasn't part of the open mics. He was already doing the professional. Yeah. He was like an acrobat. He could do these. He would flip and fall down and physical stuff. He kind of took me under his wing, and we went to a college, and I was supposed to split the opening spot 20 minutes with his wife, 10 and 10. I could barely do 10 at that point, so we're supposed to split that 10 and 10. The night right before we go, she decides not to come. He says, "You're doing 20."
Stretch.
You know what that's like. You know when you first start. You know. So I got up there and I was just. I tanked, and to the point where they were doing it was packed, filled with college kids. They were doing that bombing sound, that
the audience,
yeah, the audience.
Look at Normandy over here.
I was, it was just horrible.
I was in a documentary called "I'm Dying Up Here." Okay, my bad.
Oh, I just saw that. I think
I'm laughing, dying,
dying, laughing. Yeah,
I saw it on the plane.
Yeah, I think I saw that. Yeah,
I was on a plane, and we're talking about bombing, man. And how did the bombing feel like to you, Rodrigo?
Oh, dude, it's fucking gross.
Take us back to last night.
It fucks you. You can't really do anything.
It does.
Unless you can flip it around, dog, and that's very rare. It feels really shitty, dude.
The hardest bomb that I get now, it's not the bombing that a kind of an audience member is going to notice. It's the kind of bombing that I know personally. And in my head, I know that I'm stuck somewhere, you know. And I can't get out of it, and I can't go back to the material somehow because my mind is still focused on this fucking bad bombing I'm getting.
Right. I had a thing once at the Belly Room, the Comedy Store. It was like some kind of African American night, and I wouldn't even call this a bomb because I went up there.
Tuesday.
It wasn't Fat Tuesday because it was before Fat Tuesday.
It was on a Monday night. Yeah, Monday night.
It was upstairs in these guys in the front they wouldn't let me say anything. I said, I went to do it, and they just started yelling at me, and I just walked out that side door. And so, I mean, I guess that is a bomb, right? You know, I couldn't, you know, it is a bomb. Okay, it's a bomb.
So I'll tell you, I started when I met a lot of people there at the comedy, at the Natural Fudge, like Freddie Soto.
Yeah, Freddie was a good friend of mine.
When he was driving that post office truck, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Freddie Soto used to have a fucking post office truck.
A little Jeep,
bro. But he was like an old postman.
I got to tell you, Freddie and I became good friends. And I'm a little bit ashamed of this. When Freddie first started, me and Jamie Kennedy were really tight. And we were friends with Freddie. Freddie was so bad in the beginning.
I used to hang out with you guys. I used to go eat with you guys at Norm's before there was...
oh, yeah.
Before it was... what is it called now? Mouse Diner?
Oh, Ben Franks.
Ben Franks. Ben Franks. We used to go to eat at Ben Franks.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
That's right? What it was before Mel's?
Yeah, before it was Norm, before it was Mel's Diner.
It was Ben Franks.
Ben Franks.
On Sunset.
Delicatessen, huh?
It was a real old school coffee shop. It was great. Damn. 24 hours.
And I was fortunate to go with you guys maybe a couple of times. And
fortunate.
I was fortunate, you know.
Yes, we sanctioned him.
I tagged along, bro. And I ate with Jamie Kennedy, Freddie Soto, Al, and Cynthia Levine, I think.
Cynthia Levine. I just did a gig with her.
Yeah, man. And then we were all young comics, bro. And then, of course, Jamie Kennedy didn't have no money. I think he was living in his car or something.
He had no money.
He was like, that was before he wrote that letter for that. I think after that, he went to London to do comedy, to do acting or before?
No, after he went to London for, that's so funny. God, what a memory. He went to London to study at a Shakespeare, I think.
Yeah.
And then he did that for the summer, and then he came back. What he did is he got a couple of self-help books, Think and Grow Rich and something else.
Who did?
Jamie did. At an open mic at a books, at a like a coffee house. They were used, copies. And these books changed his life. And I saw him go from, he read it because he applied it. He went from being completely broke within a few months, just getting commercials, and then he started getting agents and management.
MTV.
And MTV, TV, movies, and all that kind of stuff.
Jamie blew up the same time that song from Beck came out. I'm a loser, baby.
Right.
So the whole vibe, the whole skating shit, you know.
It was all part of that little
Genesis. He was part of that mix.
I remember he did a guest. He got went up right before you hit the Laugh Factory when he had his FX show when he was barely starting. That's the last time I seen him.
Then he got that cool little part in there's
Scary Movie.
Scary Movie.
That was Scream.
Scream. Yeah. Scary
that's movie. Where that's what put him over. Yeah. Scream.
Yeah, but we were all hanging out, bro.
Damn, that's crazy, dude. And it was called. What was it called again? That
Ben
place?
Franks.
Ben Damn. Franks. And I think it was better then than it is now, as Mel's Diner.
Old school, huh, fool?
It was, yeah, old school American whole school.
You used to write, right, for comedians, Jamie Kennedy?
No, I mean, I helped out. Not really. You know. Oh. Well, and actually, I take that back. I did write on a special. I mean, I thought you were talking about like back in the early days. No. I helped him write on his special, one of his specials.
And then after the whole natural fudge thing was done, another room popped out, and this lady actually goes to my shows when I'm in El Paso. Dawn.
Oh, Dawn. She's my friend on Facebook. Yeah.
Every time I'm in El Paso, Dawn and her husband go to my show.
Chris, right?
Chris.
The one that showed up with that big RV?
Yeah, bro.
Do you remember Chris's dad?
Yeah, he used to sing.
You
sing?
L.A. I used to make so much fun of him because he had so much reverb.
You were so funny when you used to make fun of anybody, bro. Bro, before make fun of people, bro, that you didn't think they were going to make fun of, bro. Like the owners, and then Dawn, the blonde lady, had a father, or Chris' father, and he was like a crooner, bro.
Crooner with a lot of echo, a lot of reverb on his mic.
Yeah, and he when they were looking for a song to be the official song of Los Angeles, Dawn's father or Chris's father, he wrote his own LA song and turned it in. Of course, they didn't take it, but he sang it every show.
That's Damn. Funny. There was. Do you remember there was a guy there? I don't know what he did, but he had he was an older guy, a friend of theirs, really bad toupee, horrendous toupee. And I was going to make fun of him, but I was warned against it. Like, he was an old school OG, you know? They said, do not make fun of that guy. And I was just like, okay.
Was it a white dude?
No, he's a Latino guy.
Oh, yeah?
Latino, yeah.
That's funny, man. So we used to do Waldo's, right?
Waldo's. It was in a hotel.
Hollywood and on Highland.
Highland.
Sunday nights.
He knows the freaking days. What and the time.
I would only do comedy, bro. After Natural Fudge, I had the Laugh Factory. Then I had Waldo's. And then, remember when you used to do the fucking with Chewy from the Comedy Store? He used to bring out that big jar. We used to write our name on it. Oh. A potluck.
Oh, yeah, Chewy, yeah.
Potluck at the Comedy Store.
I knew Chewy from a place called the L.A. Cabaret, and they might have been closed before.
Damn, that's old school.
That was in Encino, yeah.
You did the L.A. Cabaret?
Yeah.
With the original owners?
Yeah.
Were you there when it was hot or when it was dead?
No, it was already gone. And I once told the owner on the phone to go fuck himself, and I forget what happened. He was such an asshole to me. You can swear on this thing, right? Because I usually don't swear. But I told him to go fuck himself, and then I felt so bad as a sober. I had to make an amends to him, so I called him back. And I said, listen, his name is Ray. I said, Ray, I'm calling to apologize for what I said to you. I don't want to play your club. I'm not saying that because I want to play your club. Just he goes, well, you're not going to play it anyway. Oh, yeah, fuck you.
What's up, fool? All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have our second sponsor. It's called Bombfell. Do you hate going shopping for clothes? Are you like me and never have time to go shopping? Or maybe you don't know what to wear or how to put an outfit together. And that's a lot of you motherfuckers. I've seen you guys. There's an easier and better way to shop for clothing. Okay? Maybe you don't know what to wear or how to put an outfit together. There is an easier, better way to shop for clothing. Bombfell. They're this cool new service that I signed up for because I hate clothes shopping. I am never home to go shopping, and I want to have someone else pick things out for me that I might like. Because usually, man, when I pick up my clothes, I like it at the store, but then when I get home, I fucking hate it, bro. You only pay for the clothes you keep. It's called Bombfell. B-O-M-B-F-E-L-L. Bombfell. You sign up, put in your measurements and style choices, what kind of clothes you like, casual, preppy, etc. These are the actual clothes, man. Not like when you buy an extra large and it's too tight or it's too loose. They'll send you a measuring tape, bro, to measure your chest and your length and everything.
Oh, tailor style?
Yeah. And
hell yeah.
They pick out the colors for you, man, the right colors.
To match.
To match, bro. It's like having a personal dresser all the time.
So it's like a little outfit. Then.
A little outfit. You have outfits, bro, matching stuff. No more, you know, tennis shoes and shorts. No, L, just kidding. No more sweats like you and I, bro. No matching sweats.
Was I not supposed to wear shorts for this?
No, just kidding. No, like, you know, these people pick out your clothes. You choose how many things you want to see, pants, shirt, etc. They have stylists, bro, pick out an outfit that they send you an email with the clothes, and you can say whether you like them or not. And if you do like it, they send it to your house, and you have 7 days to try them on, bro. You can wear these to church, to a house party. If you don't like it, send it back, you know? And then keep them or send them back saying you don't like them, and they won't charge you. They only charge you for like, once you keep the clothes. Anyways, they sent me 2 t-shirts and a pair of pants. The shirts were tight, bro. It was tight. Tight, bro. You could see all my nipples were hard. Everything. You could see everything. My ribs.
So said ribs.
I should have chosen 2X, you know? That was my bad. That was my bad. Not Bombfell's fault. But I was like able to send it back and now see what they choose for me next month. The pants, bro. The pants felt good, bro.
They were perfect?
You know what, man? I kept the fucking pants. They were perfect. You know what they felt like? It felt like putting on flannel.
Yeah, fool.
It just felt comfortable. Like, I could take a nap in these. I could go on a Coke binge and pass out. Hey, yes, just hey. Hey, you
know. Were they like khakis or what were they like?
No, bro, they were soft. They felt like sweats. They're denim. They're denim.
That's cool.
Love the pants. They're high quality and super soft, and nothing is greater than getting home and seeing a hand-picked outfit sitting on your porch ready for you to wear, and you didn't have to do anything. As a listener of the What's Up Food podcast, you can get $25 off your first purchase or go to bombfell.com/WUF. That's bombfell.com/WUF. bombfell.com/WUF to get $25 off your first purchase. Bombfell, open and close. Bombfell, open and close.
Yeah.
So what's up, Rodrigo, man? I see you sometimes you dress good, you know, sometimes you look like shit, but most of the time you look good, bro.
You dress yourself
or?
Yeah.
Or you have your mom dress you.
Ah, fool. What am I, in the sixth grade?
Can I tell you something about my mom dress? But, man.
What's up with those outfits, dog?
Oh, my God, dog.
Tell me, dog.
I went clothes shopping with my mom one time. I was already a comedian, you know, we haven't hang out. And she went to go buy me clothes. Fool, I wanted to hit her, bro. I wanted to cry. at the bullshit she bought me, bro.
What'd she buy?
She bought me a long sleeve striped shirt. Like long sleeve striped shirt with matching shorts, bro. And then she got me a red t-shirt with a matching shorts, bro. I mean, what am I, in a fucking rugby team?
Get battered.
I like, she dressed, I dressed like that when I was 8, bro.
That's like an 8-year-old.
Yeah, outfit. Man. Whatever you do, don't go to momfail.com. What's up, fool? We're here with Al Berman, bro.
I did that at What's Up. Fuck, I'm gonna do a little What's Up, fool myself.
So you were like, you were hanging out with Freddie Soto for a long time?
You have the longest commercials in this podcast, I have to say, man. Right now. Yeah. Freddie Soto and I, yes, we were good buddies.
Super tight,
but what I was talking about before, I'm a little bit ashamed of, and I talked about this in his documentary that I think his wife put together. Jamie and I used to make fun of him behind his back because he was so bad. And he was terrible.
He was.
But then
they cut out to the characters.
Yeah, and then fast forward to like a few years later, I was at the Laugh Factory when I was working with Jamie, and I saw Freddie, and he became a great, great comedian. I saw him about a year before he passed. And him and I got robbed together.
What?
We got robbed in the neighborhood of Melrose, Normandy.
Damn, who looked bad back then?
Yeah, he drove me home one night, and I had the door open. We were just chatting after a mic. And all of a sudden, this little cholito comes by with a kerchief on his face.
A handkerchief, a bandana. What color, red or blue?
I forget what color it was. I almost started laughing because I thought it was a joke because he looked so funny. But then I saw the gun, right? And then he said, you know, he put the gun on me. Then another guy came around and put the gun on Freddie. And two more other guys came with no guns. And they only had one bandana for four guys, you know, one bandana.
So the ones they went in your pockets or what?
I had $4. They took my comedy notebook.
Oh, my God.
In my bag. I had a bag. They took my bag. That was the only thing that pissed me. And they took my little tape recorder. Remember, we used to have those little cassette recorders? They took that. And I drove around the neighborhood afterwards trying to find it. And the cops came. We called the cops. And then, they put us up against the wall right away.
Yeah.
And checked us out.
What did they take on Freddie?
Freddie, they took a lot. He had a lot of stuff. He had a nice coat. He had some.
You took his jacket?
I think he had some jewelry. He had a lot of stuff. Yeah, he had a lot
more Liberace.
He had a lot more stuff than I did. I swear I had $4, a comedy notebook, and I started doing bits like, if you see some cholos doing my act, let me know.
I remember you talking about that?
Right.
I suppose you must have been pissed that he get shit on. Well, the golden jacket, maybe.
What they just showed? That was their neighborhood.
I don't know.
Or just robbing random people.
I think they were robbing random people. And then what they did, there was a couple in the car in front of us that were kind of like making out, and they went to rob them. So we had to wait until they got done robbing them, you know, before we could leave. And they had a fucked up car that was puttering down the street. And they were like giggling, like kids. You know.
Damn.
Yeah.
That gun says it all, though, huh?
Yeah, the gun says it all.
Not one that you ever like at any minute, that at any second, at that moment, it's time to take these guys.
Well, become a hero?
Yeah.
Fuck that.
I get real relaxed in situations like that when it gets. Because I think.
Professional victim over here.
I'm like, no, I just.
They
like,
told me to lay down on this couch. Perfect.
I just go like, I don't know. There's nothing I can do. Let me just enjoy the robbery.
Welcome to LA.
Let me just enjoy it, fellas.
Hey, didn't Brian Holtzman get carjacked?
Oh my God, you're right. He did.
What happened? Because he was driving a convertible. Because when that happened, I was thinking, wow, all my friends who are from out of town get carjacked in LA and robbed.
He got carjacked. I think somewhere in Echo Park or something like that. He was driving with somebody, and I don't remember what happened, but they got carjacked. Yeah.
Wow. Does anything like that ever happen to you again in LA?
Well, one time I was driving home it was really late, maybe 2 or 3 in the morning. And again, there's a car of, you know, whatever, cholo guys in back of me, just me in front and a red light, them in back, about 4 of them. And all of a sudden, one of them sticks a gun out and starts shooting into the air.
Yeah.
And I would just like, again, I get really relaxed. Oh, there's nothing I can do. There's nothing I can do. Just drive. And I just made a right and they kept going. They just, you know.
They were not behind you or followed you?
They were behind me, but I made a right and they went that way.
Oh.
Yeah. They left me alone. They figured, maybe they were the guys that got me before.
You know what it is, man? It was probably the fucking car you had, bro.
Your car looked, out of the way.
Your car looked like that kind of car that people would take to go do a drive-by.
Well, when
you had that long plane with a long car.
It was a big car.
The hoopty, bro.
Fucking joyride. Hoopty.
Yeah. It leaked all the major fluids, you know, the oil.
Hey, homie, you want to fix the, you know, that's funny, the homies, they rob you, bro. When they would pull me over, they would go like this. Hey, homie, you want to fix those dents, bro? I work for, I'm a bodybuilder, I'm an auto body guy, bro. I could fix those dents.
Was that like gypsy guys? Like
no, they were Mexican guys, bro.
I had a gypsy guy one time yell at me in the valley with this big hoopty. He yelled across traffic, get that piece of shit off of the road.
Good road rage.
And I thought, do I know this guy? Is he busting my balls? And he just like, he was serious, you know? Never even came over to see he could fix it. He just wanted it off the streets.
Wow.
Amazing.
What do you, most of the time, what do you do? You still write?
Yeah, I took a long time off from stand-up, and I'm trying to get back into it now. I am getting back into it now. Doing my podcast, and I got a regular part-time gig I do, which is a dream come true, you know.
Yeah?
You know, not really. It's okay. I make money.
When did you start your podcast? The podcast, you by yourself or a guest?
It's just me by myself telling stories, and they're you know, comedically bent, but there's, you know, it's me doing it in my house alone, and it's about 30 minutes, and it's about me seeing the world through my sober eyes. A lot of it about food, my food problems, you know.
Yeah?
Yeah. Just me dealing with
food problems. When I came out of rehab, I picked up like different addictions, you know, before I fell off the wagon.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you ever fell off the wagon, but
no.
I picked up gambling. And I was hardcore gambling.
Oh, gambling, really?
Yeah.
You know, like gambling, they say gambling and cocaine affects the same part of the brain.
It does.
Yeah.
The synapse or what?
Because yeah. when you're like, after you lose all your money, your paycheck or whatever you have, you just feel the same depressed and sad.
It's weird.
It's weird how
gambling. What was your game?
Blackjack, anything? Blackjack. Slot machines, everything.
Where were you? Did you go to Vegas?
No, I went to Vegas. Like, I, long story short, man, I went through my father. I had my dad. I never talked about this, but I had my father's money. Like, I was holding it for him because he was hiding it from my mom. You know, you know, being scared. He's being shady. You know, and you know, at first, I borrowed some of like little by little. I borrowed some of the money to buy an outfit because William Barcena could have been on Tonight Show, and then I went to look like shit, right? This little boy bagging on me because I would only wear like a jeans and tennis shoes and a white T-shirt, you know. And that's how I dress. I would dress with my cargo shorts, you know, or a T-shirt. Hey, dog, you fucking dress like a fucking like a loser, bro. Like somebody doesn't want clean his ass, dog. Like somebody that has a dirty house, bro.
Whatever,
hey, bro,
dog.
Someone doesn't
clean his ass.
I have all those things, dog.
How can you tell, dog?
So this is the way you dress. This is the way I dress, bro. You're talking. That's so. I said, fuck it, eh. So I went to Melrose and I bought a nice jacket, bro. That shit was like $75, you know. But it wasn't my money, so I used that money. Then I bought a badass pants. I like a fucking badass shirt, bro. My shirt was fucking. Good shirt, bro. The good shirt.
Get yourself a little outfit.
So I got the little outfit, and then, little by little, bro. Like I went through all that money, bro. And
this was your dad's money.
Yeah, I went through all that money, and then my dad would see me every week to ask for money, and I would give it to him. It was like we're on a lot of money, bro. Like a lot of money that I didn't have, and let me tell you, man. I felt just like an addict when he came up to me, man. Like, oh, man, he came up to me and he said he wanted the money. And we were like, at the Tropical Cafe, bro. And I had to come clean, bro. There was no more money. And I didn't know how I was going to do it, you know. Like, And then I said, fuck, it's so hard to say now. And I just told him that I got into a gambling problem, Dad, and I went through all of it. And it's all gone. I mean, there's nothing. Mm. I don't know what to tell you, but there's only like $600 left, $800 at least. But it's all gone. You know, I don't know what to tell you. I'm sorry.
What do you say?
That fool said, don't worry about it.
For real?
Because it's just money. Because you're not gambling no more, huh? Because you're not doing drugs? No. I just fell off and started doing this again. And he goes, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. And I feel like giving him the money now that I have it, you know? But I tried giving it to him one time, and he says, no, don't worry about it. So I don't know what to do. So, yeah, man, I feel like shit, bro, like that I went through all that money. Like, what do you do?
What can you do? That was probably all the money that he was saving up from all the Slurpees and Skittles when you were a kid, dog.
I know, man. And sometimes, bro, sometimes when I was like on cocaine and sad, that would be like the moment that I would start crying.
It'll hit you?
Yeah, because I had money saved up from working with Gabriel Iglesias, you know, and I went through all that money, bro.
That's crack. When you fell off and you were fucking around?
Yeah, bro. I would go over there and pick up money, bro, and then... Do you feel that way? Do you feel like regret somewhere in your life like this? Like you need to apologize to somebody?
Oh, tons of people.
It's fun.
Tons of people.
We go through so many. We use people a lot, huh?
I remember my dad one time when I was working with him, and there was going to be. He knew I was doing a little bit of comedy when I was younger in New York. There was a comedian was going to be at some special dinner, and he got me. We went together, and before the dinner, I drank a lot of alcohol, so I got really messed up. And then I think I smoked some weed. And then I just left without telling my dad. And I was staying with a girl. I went to her house. I didn't even tell my dad. Went to her house, and my dad called me later. Goes, where the hell were you? I go, I got fucked up and blah, blah, blah. But years later, it hit me, and I called him up, and I was bawling because I felt so bad what I did to him. I could just cry right now. And he didn't even remember it. He didn't even remember it. He goes, I don't even remember it. You know, but it was just like, my dad, he takes me to a dinner with a comedian because I'm trying to get in a comedy to show me a professional comedian. And I get drunk and leave him there without even saying goodbye.
Fuck.
Without even saying goodbye. Without even saying, Dad, I don't feel good. I'm fucked up. I just leave. Fuck him. I mean, you know.
Fucking hell.
What was I thinking of? I mean, you know, it just, no, I called him up because was in Jersey at the time and I was out here. And I was just, Dad, I got to apologize for this. And I started bawling my eyes. And he goes, I don't remember this. I go, okay, well, at least I cleaned up my thing here.
Yeah, man. I remember when we had a birthday party for my son. And I had I had saved up money to buy him shit. But then I saw my father there and I tried to give him the money. He goes, no. He goes, no, you have a nice place. You know, whatever, he didn't want to take it. So, but yeah, man, just knowing, you know, like, I felt good that I came clean right now, but yeah, man, this been bugging me for years, bro. But I did apologize. But just knowing, man, just the feeling of knowing that you got to come clean. Like, I was trying to avoid you the whole time. Like, I didn't return his phone call, you know, I'm busy. Then finally I was cornered. Right.
Sure.
Then it's better owing him money than a fucking loan shark or a gang.
But you can look at it now. It's like, yeah, you blew that money, whatever. But it's like a gift he gave you.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't want you to pay him back. So it's like he's your dad. He gave you a gift. So you're all square.
Yeah, because you don't fucking, I mean, dude, all that other shit is different, dog. What bothers you more is, you know, he doesn't bother them. Maybe it was some fuck around money for him, too.
And now I'm thinking about the specials coming out. I talk a lot of shit about him now.
but that's comedy.
Do you have an email or a place where they can find your podcast, Al Berman?
You can find it on iTunes if you got the Apple products.
I'd love to be on, by the way.
Well, you know, I never have guests, but I would love to bring you on.
Talk about addiction.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Yeah. Because usually I just do the stories, but I'd love to have you on, man.
Your website as well, right? That's right.
SobermanPodcast.com or AlBerman.com, and then Stitcher and Google Music if you got the Droid.
You have shows coming up?
Support at SobermanPodcast.com if you want to write to me. Nothing to report now. I'm just sort of getting my toe back into the stand-up thing. So,
what brought you out to the West Coast, dude? I'm curious.
I always wanted to come out here to L.A., and I had a friend of mine that was trying to become an actor. We were super young, you know, came out here.
Were you attracted by television to come out here? Because my wife, she loved California, like when she was here, the Three's Company.
Oh, yeah, television. Oh, yeah, this was I used to call up, remember Fort, the old, you would call up the operators, and that back in when I was a kid, it didn't cost any money. I would call L.A. and ask for, like, phone numbers of movie stars. Like, I would call up and go, I like the number of Tony Curtis.
Tony Curtis.
And then they go, you know, because he was a big star. And, okay, and then they go, I knew his real name was Bernard Schwartz. How about Bernard Schwartz? Oh, we have 27 Bernard Schwartzes here in Beverly Hills alone, you know.
Oh, damn, dude. That's fucking nuts. And the punk bands that you played with, what were the punk bands back in the day? I mean,
well, REM was not a punk band, but. Because
they used to take the Minutemen on the road, right?
Yeah, yeah, but the REM was one of the guys who came and jammed with us. We were on a French label, and we were with the Replacements and,
oh, okay,
and
oh,
the Cramps.
Yeah. Oh,
and,
really?
You know, and the drummer from X used to come see us all the time.
So you know, like the Blasters and all that scene. Those
I didn't know them bit? That well, not too much, but okay. I knew the drummer from the X better.
All right.
So, yeah. Did you ever do Al's Bar in downtown LA?
I never did Al's Bar. No,
that was the original punk gig, huh?
No, I did. Yeah, I did all the.
For anybody guessing, the 80s, Al's Bar was the place to be for punk.
I did the Madame Wong's West, the Club Lingerie, which I think is
still on Sunset. About the Vex?
What's it called?
The Vex. No. And then the drummer from X is DJ Bonebreak.
Right? DJ Bonebreak.
Gorky Park was a club too, right? Gorky's, I think.
Gorky's on Goenga Boulevard?
Yeah.
That was when I first got sober. That was a place I used to go to eat at night.
Oh, yeah? I thought it was a place.
But I don't know. Maybe they might have had...
Did you ever go to that? Remember that little bar, that little cafe they used to open 24 hours on Alameda, Atomic Cafe?
Oh, yeah. That's near my house, yeah.
Atomic Cafe.
Yeah, yeah.
Old school. What's up, Food Podcast with Rodrigo Torres. What's your Instagram or Twitter, Al Berman?
My Instagram is – my Twitter is at Al Berman Comic, and my Instagram, I can't remember.
Look it up through Al Berman Comic.
Yeah. Sober Man Podcast. Right?
Sober Man Podcast, yes, sir.
And you have the Yeah Man, right?
Yeah, man, check it out.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Thank you, man.
Picture.
Want to get in the middle, brother?
Oh,